all of you here. I hope you had a good week in the Lord. I know it's been hot, but I think a little rain's on its way. And so we're looking forward to another cool afternoon in the Lord. Glad we have visitors here with us today. We hope that you have a good time of worshiping. I know that many of you are excited. College football kicked off yesterday, and Youngstown and Sanford was a wonderful game yesterday. Oh, that's not the one y'all was talking about. Maybe it was Villanova and Colgate. No, that's been Miami and Florida. Yeah. But it's kicked off and it's here. Real football will start next week. Y'all just wait for it. Just a little taste of it there. Good to have you here. Really, we are. We're going to be in the book of Psalms chapter 92 again. Psalms 92, we have been going through the book of Psalms through the summer and just picking out chapters here and there, just looking at the information that God has given us that we can kind of ferret out some truths of the Word of God and be able to apply them into our lives so we may live a little bit more Christ-like. Now, next week, we start off in the Sunday morning service with Brother Dwayne Chase, missionary to Honduras. Who is also our printer here in the print shop. He'll be telling us about his work, preaching for us, and then Sunday evening we'll have Brother Jonathan Michelin, missionary to the Philippines, with us, and looking forward to that. And the next week we'll have another missionary, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the week after that, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we'll have our international banquet. That's the 15th, on the September 15th, and then I'll be filling in for the missionaries that Sunday. So y'all have to put up with me again that Sunday. Then the Sunday after that, we'll have another missionary coming in and preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then the last Sunday of the month, we'll have another missionary as well coming in. All month long, the thought of missions. It's important that we understand that we have a great responsibility under the commission of God to go in all the world to preach the gospel. And we cannot do it by ourselves without the help of missionaries. And so this whole month, be praying about that, looking at that, asking God to bless your heart with an openness to receive what God has for you all month long. All month long. And something else I wanted to mention before we get started. I've asked Brother Ray on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Brother Ray is going to have a Bible time. We're calling it Bible Time with Brother Ray at 10 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. For an hour or so, no food involved, just come, Bible. It's not going to be where he's standing there lecturing. You're going to ask questions and talk about things, and it's for all ages and all people. So if you're available on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock, this begins the first Tuesday in September. First Tuesday in September. Bible Time with Brother Ray, Tuesday mornings, 10 o'clock. Bible Time with Brother Ray. And I've asked him to start it off with this, the Beatitudes. So that's what you know you'll be looking at. So if you want to come, y'all be talking about the Beatitudes. And not bad attitudes, Beatitudes. So come on Tuesday mornings. Anybody, all ages, Fellowship Hall, the building right here next to the church here. And it'll be about an hour or so in time enough for you to get back home and have your lunch. So he won't hold you long, but I think it'll be a good time of fellowship, a good time of Bible study and Bible time. You can't get enough Bible. You really can't. And so Brother Ray will be the one to talk to right over here, our organ player. So if you're interested, want information, 10 o'clock on Tuesday, starting right after Labor Day. So that'll be with Brother Ray. All right, Psalms 92. Psalms chapter number 92. I'm going to talk a little bit about faith this morning. Faith. A flourishing faith or a growing faith, a thriving faith. Here's a question for you before we get started. You think about this as I read through the chapter of Psalms chapter 92. Is your faith flourishing or fainting? Is your faith flourishing or fainting? The Bible says in Psalms chapter number 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I hope you've done that today. Hope it's a part of your life. Something you do daily. Always giving thanks. The Bible says, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. That's what we do when we give our testimony for what the Lord's done for us. We're showing forth his loving kindness when we tell somebody about the love of God and how Christ has saved us. And, the faithfulness that God has had for us. And so, verse 2 is talking about speaking on behalf of God and how good he's been to you, to others. So we talk to God, we give thanks to him, we sing to him, praise his name. And then we tell others about him. Verse 3, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works, through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hand. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. If I could say this without causing any heartache on your behalf, I'm telling you, we're living in the day of fools. So, Pastor, it's not kind. The Bible says if a man says there's not a God, he is a fool. And we're living in a day and age on every corner, every teacher, every philosopher, every TV show, every talk show, every other politician stands up and denies that there is a God. And according to Scripture, the man says that or a woman says that, they're a fool at heart for sure. Now, that was just free there. Y'all pay me for the rest. Verse 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Now our concentration today is going to be on verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. In the courts of our God, they shall still bring forth fruit in the old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Flip your Bible over, hold your place there, because we're coming right back. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. We're instructed in the New Testament that we're to do something with our faith. And in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied. Now, that's a little different than adding and subtracting. 4 plus 2 is what? 6. 4 times 2 is what? See the difference? And the Bible says here, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, and hath called us to the glory to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now we have adding. Up there we had multiplication, now God's adding it. So I'm telling you, this is the problem. I think too often, dear friend, we start to try to multiply and multiply and multiply, and we try to outrun God until we become a God of our own, and then therefore we need not God, and so therefore we are walking alone in this old wicked world. It takes time. Add to your faith virtue. So here's the question again this morning. Is your faith flourishing, or is it fainting? Now listen, there's some fascinating things about faith. First of all, faith is the very substance of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Galatians 2:16, the Bible says there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Galatians 2:16, I still hear those pages turning. I went and had my hearing tested on this past week on Thursday, and the doctor told me I have the normal hearing of a 50-year-old man. So only one tone was below normal, and he said that was the tone that I probably ignore my wife in. So my hearing is okay, so I kept hearing those pages turning. So let's go back to Galatians 2:16 so we can all read it for ourselves. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not of the works of the law. For by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So salvation is by faith alone. That's a fascinating fact. Because all around us and all throughout the world, every denomination out there is throwing out this here idea. You can get to heaven this way, you can get to heaven that way, you can get to heaven up this road, I can get to heaven by doing this. If I get baptized early enough, I can get to heaven. By one way alone, that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's a fascinating fact. But yet the world is spinning it every which way. Coming up with all kind of counterfeits. Listen, even the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, talking about our faith in verse 20, it says, because of your unbelief. Listen, if you'd only had faith as like a seed, a grain of mustard seed, if you'd only had just a little bit of faith, sometimes we think we're gonna have tremendous faith that people can just see faith oozing out of us. And that's not what the Bible says. Just with a little bit of faith, because if it's that faith is in the work of God and the power of God and not in us, and then we're able, the Bible says, to even move great mountains. So faith is able to do great things. Great things. And it's foundational. Faith is foundational in our Christian growth, in our church growth. Look with me, if you would, over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11 and 12, but thou, O man of God. Let's back up to verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, listen to what it says, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you've got to keep money. Here's another one of those side things. We've got to keep money in perspective, dear friend. We need money to live, pay gas bill, money to pay rent, pay mortgage. We got to have money to pay Walmart. Even if you check yourself out, they still want your money. You can't walk out of there and your stuff. Even if you check, you got to pay. You got to have money. The problem is the love of money. Chasing after that money. We're putting more love in the money than we are in the love of God, who gives us the strength to earn money. And we begin to err from the faith. Verse 11. But thou, O man, we get a warning. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. Dear friend, a foundational faith. We have to understand that we build upon Jesus Christ, and there is no other foundation. He is the chief cornerstone of everything we do. Everything has to be upon the work of Christ and who He is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And so it's the foundational faith that is very vital and stable in our Christian life. A double-minded man is, he wavers and he's back and forth in all of his ways, the Bible says. So you've got to get some solid foundations and fight the good fight of faith. Now, if we want our faith to keep flourishing and growing or thriving in such a way, dear friend, then we've got to follow what the Bible teaches us to do. And the Bible says back over in Psalms chapter number 92, verses 12 through 15, it gives us some things that we can look at and we can follow. Now listen, here's three things we're going to look at real quick and we'll be done. We've got to get to the nursing home. We've got to get back here at 6 o'clock for prayer and 5:15 for instrumental study group, 6:30 back into the Bible. So you listen quick and you follow along. But there's three things that will help your faith flourish and not faint. First off, is a consistent living will keep our faith flourishing. A consistency in our daily lives. I have never in my life, dear friend, some days we're A-OK with God, and the next day we're not. Some days we're A-OK with our family, and the next day we're not. Some days we're A-OK with our job, and the next day we're not. Consistency, dear friend, we've got to have some consistent living daily. Consistency is something that happens all the time. You remember reading over in the book of Acts where Paul, as he would show up into a new village, he was going there to plant a church, and it would say this, and he entered into the synagogue as his manner was. It was consistent. Some consistent living. Listen, the Bible says there in verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. The righteous shall flourish. Flourish. Consider with me just for a minute. Well, Pastor, my faith would flourish if everything was always hunky-dory and everything was fine. Consider with me for just a moment, Joseph, a great man of God, faithful to do what was told to him. He was always being obedient to his father. He got a little under his brother's nerves, you know. They thought he was a little bit loved a little more than maybe himself, and you know, he was given a coat of many colors, and his faith was growing. And one day the older brothers was out there, all the older brothers out there taking care of the father's flock. And the father said, listen, go check on them. And he got out there, and of course, they weren't where they were at. You can have consistency, dear friend, either doing the wrong thing all the time or doing the right thing all the time. But we need consistency in our walk with God if we want our faith to flourish. And so he got out there, and sure enough, they saw him coming, and they began to make up a way to get rid of Joseph. Let's kill him, let's put him in a hole, let's sell him. They come up with all kinds of ways. Of course, we know that Joseph was sold off, and he was carried down there to Egypt, and he was sold to Potiphar, and Potiphar began to notice he was a hard worker there. What's going good for him now? So think about it. If somebody wanted a pity party, he had every right to have a pity party. I mean, he didn't volunteer to get thrown into bondage. He said, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't understand. I have no idea what's going on. And there he goes. Before long, Mrs. Potiphar takes a look at him and says, wow, he is a good catch. Even though I got a catch. I'm going to take this catch because I don't like this catch on this day. I want this catch today. And so she began to take a note of Joseph and sent all the other servants away. And there's Joseph in doing his job, whatever his job would have been that day. At that point in time, he was over the household of Potiphar. So he may have been, checking the books, checking the supplies. I don't know what he was doing. But all of a sudden, there he and Miss Potiphar was alone. And she laid hold on him. took off running and left his coat there, and she accused him of trying to assault her and he ended up in jail. Okay, he could have been, he could have had a really big pity party by now, couldn't he? You know what Joseph did? I don't understand it, God, I know you love me, I'm here. So he started cleaning up the cell. It wasn't these cells that we got. I mean, it was rough cells, rats, rat droppings, and sewer drippings all coming out of the dungeon walls and down on them, and they'd sling the food down in there up on top of them, and it'd just scatter everywhere. And it was bad. Joseph just got busy. What am I saying? Joseph was consistent. And we got this here idea. Well, I'll be consistent as long as I'm on a mountaintop. And Brother Dwayne, this is my life. This is how I've always seen it, Brother Jim. I have mountaintops and I have valleys. But that's not the norm. Sister Barbara, the norm is just mundane, everyday Christian life where I just go on because it's the right thing to do. And the problem is that we have been sold this bill of goods as people that it has to be fireworks. And we're almost like Naaman. You know, Naaman had to be chastised by his servant. He said, listen, if the man of God had to clap, threw some dust up there, and stars, God, you'd have jumped off in there and you'd have got into the river and you'd have dunked yourself seven times. But all he asked you was something simple. Let me tell you something. Most of the time of our life, God is just simply going to ask us to be faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Consistency. You want flourishing faith, dear friend, you have to be consistent. Well, I just can't get no growth. Let me be honest with you, dear friend. We come to church to huddle up, to strengthen ourselves. Growth should come privately with you and God alone. You know what? I cannot blame you on my lack of growth or my growth. It is what I do with God personally. Personally. If you want flourishing faith, friend, you're going to have to be consistent. Well, things just ain't going well. Consider Joseph. Consider Joseph. In the book of Hebrews, doesn't it say, consider the author and finisher of our faith, speaking with the Lord Jesus Christ? It tell you, it wasn't going good all the time for the Lord either. And I'll tell you another one, it wasn't going on. You want to consider somebody else? Consider Paul. It wasn't always hunky-dory for Paul. I'll be honest with you, quite honest with you. Paul kind of took a deduction in lifestyle when he got on the Lord's side. What are you talking about, preacher? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Hebrew of Hebrews. Had letters given to him that he could take armed men with him and go arrest people and cast them in jail. Take their belongings and his belongings, their belongings could become his. He didn't have to turn them over to the temple. And he said, Lord, on Damascus Road, what shall I do with Jesus? Exchanged all that good and the godly, the gain of the world for the gain of Christ, and dear friend, it didn't go well all the time, physically speaking. But he said, this here, what I suffer, is just for a moment. I have a more eternal weight in glory. More eternal values in glory. You want some flourishing faith? You want to flourish like a palm tree? Man, how many palm trees we have in Florida? Tell me. Over me, you know, what different types. How many, Jordan? Come on, Jared. We ain't been out of vacation Bible school that long.
64.
Huh?
64, I don't know.
3,000 different palm trees in the state of Florida alone. And that'll never leave me. I still think that was fake news. Never. 3,000 different types of palm trees. The Bible tells us there, if we want to flourish, dear friend, we got to flourish in righteousness. I don't have any righteousness, so therefore I have to walk daily in the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
That's where the faith grows. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. You always have to bear with me if I get a little excited today. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. I told myself I'd be done at 11:49 today. I did. I'll tell you how well I listened. Let you know what my wife has to put up with every day. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Brother Lee, I've understood this in my life, that my faith flourishes in direct proportion of how totally dedicated I am to Christ. My faith grows, thrives, shines. My strength, my faith is my victory. It is in direct correlation in the proportion of my life. As I present my life a living sacrifice to Christ, I die to self, I take up my cross daily, and my faith flourishes and it grows. But when the old man steps up to the bat and says, hey, I'm going to take control, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to walk in the reins of my own control, I'm going to do as I feel like I want to do, and I'm going to live my life like I want to live, dear friend, at those times, am I a wavering being on a slippery slope for the devil to sift me as wheat? Second thing I noticed in verse 13, back in our text. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ died and gave himself to the church. The Bible says in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling yourselves together in the manner of some means. It's a little important here. If you want your faith to flourish, dear friend, I also believe it's in direct correlation of how involved I am in a local New Testament church. For some reason or another, we've come to this idea that I come to get from instead of what I can give to the Lord and his house and the work of God. So I've got to be consistent in my daily life. That's out there. Well, the only way I can be consistent out there is as I'm consistent in here, so I can be made healthy through godly fellowship. I mean, think about it just for a moment. We come to church, if we come to church every time we have the doors open, it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, 2 hours, Sunday school, Sunday morning, that's 2 hours, maybe a little bit, maybe two hours and 15 minutes. Sunday evening we come to church at about 6 o'clock, we leave at about 7:15, so maybe another hour and a half there, so we're down to 3 hours and 45 minutes on Sunday, then Wednesday we come maybe 6:30 and we leave by 8 o'clock, and so there we go. So how much other time am I around this whole world, this ungodliness is all around me? Comparative. That's if you're here every time it's open. And then, you know, well, but preacher, you just told us we need to be here when Brother Ray comes. Well, I mean, if you feel like it's like a dreaded ordeal to come spend time in the Bible, maybe your heart's not right. If you have opportunity. I'm not saying you got to call in to work. And I'm just saying if you're sitting at home fixed to watch The Price is Right on Tuesday morning. I don't know, Brother Ray. Bible time, Brother Ray. Price is Right. You ain't winning. Some of you watch Price is Right like, woo, I'm going to roll the wheel. No, you're not. You're sitting there. You're worse than some of these football fanatics. You think you've won and this. You're not even going on vacation with that person. Oh, I would have said $25,670. She went over. I know she went over. I'm just saying, if you're sitting at home Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock, what better thing to come around and just have a little cup of coffee, open up the Word of God, say, Lord, help me. I need to know more about you. More about Jesus. That's what I'm saying. We let the devil trick us and say, well, it's mandatory. If I don't go there, they're going to think I'm not right with God. I've come to the point whenever somebody comes to me and say, you know, they are saying, I don't even believe half of what you're saying. But listen, can I help you? If you come to me when I get out of this pulpit and say, Pastor, can I meet with you? And you walk up in my office and say, well, Pastor, they are saying, I ain't believing you. You know what I'm believing? You are saying, and you want me to be on, you want to blame it on other people. So that might stop half these meetings. I hope not. Because if you got a real problem with a real solution, I want to hear. But I want to hear they are saying, because usually they don't exist. How did we get over here, Brother Ray? Oh, I know. Your fault. Tuesday mornings, 10 o'clock. After Labor Day, we're giving you a whole week to even pray about it. Involvement. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, dear friend, if you're saved this morning, you're a child of God, you are His, you belong to Him. You belong to Him. You know, gather together as often as you can and spend time in fellowship and speak of His faith. Guess what it says in verse 2? To show forth the loving kindness of morning and faithfulness every night. The house of the Lord speaks of prayer. My people which are called by my name will humble themselves and what? Pray. That's why we meet at 6 o'clock in the evening and pray. That's why the room over there for men is open at 9:30 for men to pray. This room is open over here for ladies at 9:30 on Sunday mornings to pray. Because God said if my people will humble themselves, just come and pray. Involvement into the house of God, into the things of God. So there's really nothing for me to do. You hadn't opened your mind. Somebody's done put a blindfold around you if you think you ain't got nothing to do around here. There's plenty to do. There's plenty to do in any church. You just got to get involved and do it. I don't know how many times somebody has come and said, you know, Pastor, this window over here is broken. That building there needs a little paint on it. God just laid it on your heart. He didn't lay it on your heart to come give me the information. Honestly, he didn't. If he brought that to your attention, it's for you. Just do it. Just get involved and do it, because I'll tell you, the more you're involved, the more you take ownership, the more you're doing. Oh, here, we've got something else I need to add to this here thing to do. October the 5th, 5:30 in the evening, there's going to be a dinner here at the church for the widows and widowers provided by the church. Sister Yarbrough's going to cook the meal, and her and Miss Wagman, and y'all can come and enjoy widow fellowship together and widowers, because there's a lot of times that they have to talk about things that I don't grasp it. I want to be sympathetic, but I don't know what it's like to be a widow or a widower. So there's time to fellowship. Come and be there. You know what? That was laid on their heart. They brushed them with it. I said, "You're yeah." When God lays something on your heart, dear friend, just reach out to get busy and start doing it, because there is so much we can do, and your faith will grow day by day as you are involved. Here's the last one. We're done. So first, consistent living outside. Third, consistent church involvement inside, because we got to go back outside. Don't y'all love this Florida heat? There has to be a concerted, consistent, church-wide outreach for the cause of Christ. Our world is going to hell, dear friend. There's people dying and going to the devil's hell. We as a church have to be involved with reaching folks. I'm praying right now about something in October that maybe we're going to start. It's called Invite One. And I'm thinking all October I'm just going to preach on Invite One, Invite One, Invite One, Invite One. Listen, I'm not saying that you have to make it to church-wide visitation every first and second Thursdays and first and second Saturdays every time. But dear friend, we live day by day by day with people that wake up and they're going to spend eternity somewhere, and all we have to do is just reach out and share with them the love of God and the invitation to Christ. If you want your faith to get past something. So, Pastor, I just don't know how. Here's a good idea. It's football season. I could care less about football, really, to be honest with you. I joke around with you guys. I do, you know. Y'all know I'm still coaching up there at Eastland, and I'm involved with those kids' lives and trying to just be the best example I can and fail at that daily up there. But here's a good thing. What man at your work would come over here to a chicken wing party on a Monday night? And y'all watch a football game together over there and at halftime. Hey, let me tell you something. You know, when I was 20 years old, Jesus reached into my heart and life and made a difference in my life through salvation. But Jim, they look at me like I'm crazy. You mean invite somebody? If God laid, that's just an example. If God laid that on you, listen. I'm not talking about in here. We're not fixing to have no Super Bowl Sunday. Not as long as I'm pastor. We're not having Super Bowl Sunday up in here. We're not taking a break so you can get home and watch Super Bowl. You'll just have to skip church and know you're wrong with God. I'm not talking about that. Well, over here in this area, in our fellowship hall, we got two flat screen TVs, dear friend, and a Monday night is not something we normally do. You say, Pastor, I can't do it, but I'm going to tell you, there would be some men at your work would come and watch that football with you. It's a tool. It's a tool. Some of you ladies, you can start some reading clubs, just something to say, listen, we're going to knit and sew over here on a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock if you want to come knit and sew. We'll open up a room and let you knit and sew as long as you know that you're not there just for knitting and sewing. There has to be an opportunity that says, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Some of you right now know some single moms that are struggling and couldn't pay to change their oil. They don't have enough money. They're running over 25,000 miles on oil. Somebody adds a little more. Why don't you say, listen, I've got somebody at my church that will change your oil if you'll ride over there with me. You say, Pastor, who's going to change the oil? We'll find somebody around here if I have to change it myself. But I won't change it so you can sit in there and listen to Beyonce. I'll change it so you can take the opportunity to share Christ with them. There's all kind of ways, dear friend. Pastor, I go, but I can't walk. We got postal service still working half the time around here anyway. Half the time they work. I mean, every day we get mixed mail out here. Get you some mail. I'll give you the stamps myself and a gospel tract and look in the phone book or look on Google or something and say, listen, I'd like to invite you to our church. I can't walk. I can't go. I can't come to your house to visit, but I'd love to see you at church. And send them a note or a letter. Man, we got quiet. Let's back up and go to verse 4:1 again. Consistent living. You know why I got so quiet? Because this is the most difficult thing in every church, is reaching out. It's the most difficult thing. Not just our church, dear friend. I don't care where you go. It is the most difficult thing in any church for people to say, I'm going to have a consistent outreach. here's a big challenge. I challenge y'all want to eat Tide Pods and dump ice all over you, jump out of cars and run. And I got a challenge. Christmas is coming up. Is it? It's almost here, dear friend. How about this? Homecoming's coming up. Why don't you make a mark in your head and your heart that I'm going to be around at homecoming and I'm going to invite people to a special day. They will come to special days. Homecoming's special. Christmas the Quintana is special. Easter is special. Well, why would I want to invite them? This is why. Because if you're inviting them to three church events a year, is that more than you're inviting them right now? Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed. Holy Spirit said, we're done. No wonder people's faith are not flourishing. There's no consistent daily living. We're hit and miss. There's no church involvement. And we're not inviting folks to the house of God. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Thank you for blessing our church. We've got a blessed church, a blessed group of people. God, I know as a pastor, there's times that I fail in these areas. Sad thing is, it's on a consistent basis many times. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. God, we got a lot of work to do as a church. And the only way we're going to get to reaching people for you is that we consistently live for you. We're consistently in the house of God. And we're consistently testifying on your behalf in front of folks. Lord, I pray that you're blessed. In Jesus' name. What page, Brother Jim?